Local Content Podcast, your go-to source for content creation, strategy, and business inspiration. I'm your host, Mel Daniels, content strategist, coach, and speaker, empowering women across the globe to grow their business with powerful content that connects, nurtures, and converts. So if you're ready to create standout content that gets you noticed and remembered, or build an aligned audience who love you and are ready to buy from you, you're in the right place. I believe that content has the power to connect us all. It's up to you how you use it. Listen in for genuine and insightful chats with guests, as well as practical tools and strategies from me. It's so lovely to have you here. Let's dive into the show. I acknowledge the Wangal people of the Eora Nation as the traditional custodians of the country that I am recording from today. I recognise their continuing connection to the land and waters. I pay my respects to elders past and present and extend that respect to all First Nation people listening today. Hello, hello, beautiful people, and welcome to episode 107 of the Powerful Content Podcast. I'm a little bit excited. The guest that I have with me today, Sarah Mayer, owner and creator of Sarah Mayer Consulting, is your go-to expert on organizing your hectic days, your hectic weeks and months into manageable and functional chunks of work. She is the host of Bold Gold Crusher and Impact Unleashed podcast. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm super excited because you were one of my favorite and most listened to guests on my podcast. So I'm truly honored to be on your show.
Oh, what a lovely thing to say. It was such a great episode that we had together around goals and planning for those goals. And something interesting, I'm going to digress for a second, Sarah. In that episode, I think you asked me what was one of my bold goals.
And I did, yes.
At the time, it was writing a book. So I'm really excited to say that that book is about to be published. So I crushed my goal.
Oh, congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. But let's talk about you. Let's talk about you and your zone of genius, which is around goal setting and all the things to get there and to actually then achieve your goals and, you know, have the business and the life that you really, really want. So today we're talking about how to, because it's quite a topical topic for us at the moment in terms of it's coming to the end of the financial quarter and we're moving into a new quarter. So how can we actually go about thinking about what's happened in the last quarter, kind of drawing that line in the sand and then setting new goals and actioning and achieving those goals for the next quarter. So where do we start with this? I think the first question is, why do we even need a goal in the first place?
This is such a great topic. I love this topic around this time. And I find that often people end up kind of just going through life. Like life just happens. And your kids will have things. If you're married, your spouse will have things. There's just things that you need to do. Even your car will have things you need to do. And without having a true goal or path of where you want to go at the end of the year, at the end of a month, or even at the end of the quarter, you may have done a lot of things, but you may be no closer to achieving your dreams or what's really important to you. So when people don't set a goal or even companies don't set goals, things still happen. Life still happens, but it's not as meaningful and it's not as purposeful. And it often will take you longer to get to where you want to go.
So what do you think then, Sarah, are the symptoms of people who are doing that, who are just living day to day and perhaps not having a purpose or not actually setting a goal? What kind of things are happening in their life? Just so that my listeners can maybe think to themselves, maybe I do need to set a goal.
Yeah. So they may look back at the end of the week and say, I don't even know what I did this week. But they knew they did a lot. I mean, they weren't on the couch binging Netflix, or maybe they were, but they may look back and say, I don't know what I did this week, or I don't know how we already are in December and I haven't even started that thing I said I wanted to do in January. They may have sit down to work on one thing and then find they're working on five or six or seven things, and they get to the end of the day and they're like, oh, I never finished that one thing that I first started. Those are some of the things that I see from my clients when I know we're kind of getting off purpose or off track, or we're into doing too much and into burnout, which is a whole other topic. But those are some of the things that I've seen people struggle with a little bit.
Yeah, I hear that a lot in my space as well, Sarah, like especially when it comes to content, planning for content and thinking about what you want your content to achieve in the next 90 days, the next 6 months, a year, whatever it is. And all of a sudden, like you said, the days just go by and you wonder to yourself, what did I actually do, or did I actually achieve anything? So I think that that's a great indicator of maybe it's time to set a goal. Now, here in Australia, it is the end of the first quarter. I feel like at the beginning of the year, people sit down with the best intentions, especially with maybe goal setting or having some sort of resolution of some description. And they get to this point in the year and they feel like that they haven't actually achieved anything. So they think to themselves, why bother? What would you say?
Yeah. You know, I'm going to digress a little bit really quickly, but resolutions get such a bad rap. People are like, oh, nobody ever achieves them. Mm. And so people stop setting them. And so often you have these goals and resolutions, or I would use the word habits. Resolutions really are about resolving to do something or not to do something. It's really that simple. So I don't know why they get a bad rap, because it's the same as a habit. Like, I'm going to make this a part of my routine. And I think that's often the key. They set goals, but they haven't integrated that goal into their daily life, into their habits, into their routine. And so then at the end of the year, it's this reflecting back of, well, I didn't do any of that. And that can be really deflating.
No, that's really interesting, because you're right. Resolutions do get a bad rap. So a lot of the things that I hear are, there's a lot of objections from people who say, I'm not a goal setter. I'm not a planner. I can't do those things. Obviously, we need to get over those mindset issues before we can even get into the doing. So how would you help someone who is perhaps feeling like that or having those thoughts?
Yeah, I hear this a lot with people who've set goals before and they haven't accomplished them. So I always like to remind people that your goals can be as big or as compressed as you want them to be. And often there's this pressure of, oh, well, you have to be able to accomplish this in a year. But depending on how big your goal is, like your goal was to write a book. If you haven't even written a page ever in your life, the chances of you actually becoming a published author in a year are very slim. And so maybe your goal should be to write every day, and that's your habit, and with the long-term goal of eventually writing a book. And so I think often people set themselves up to fail when they create their goals. And then when they don't achieve them, then the next year it's like, well, you know, I'm not a really good goal setter, or, you know, I didn't manifest that, so I shouldn't even try setting goals. So I like to take people back from a reflection standpoint. And often the key to achieving your goals lies in what happened in the past. And I share this because sometimes when the new year rolls around, people start to look at the past and they say, well, I didn't do this. I didn't lose weight. I didn't work out more. I didn't do all these things. I didn't make the money I said I was going to make. I didn't get consistent on social media. And that's such a negative space. So I encourage people to reflect from a place of positivity, asking themselves questions like, what did I really enjoy this year in my life? What were the projects that I could have spent all day working on? And that's a place, a very different place. And to think beyond the last 3 months, because with the holidays, everything's compressed in the last quarter, and you add the layer of the holidays and the magic of the season and the shopping and all that. So you really want to reflect from a year or more. And think about all the things that were positive in those experiences. And then it's really about designing your next year so that you could have more, insert more of that, whatever you drew out in that reflection.
I love that. I love that idea of or reflection and planning from a place of positivity, because we can get stuck in those negative cycles of I'm not good enough because I can't do these things. I didn't achieve this, like you said. But when we kind of flip that and think about all of the things that we did do and the things that big or small and the things that we love to do, then it really changes the way that we look at things. So that's from a new year perspective. And so how do we do that from a quarter perspective? Do we still look back at the last quarter, or do we take the whole, you know, previous 12 months to do that reflection process that you're talking about, which I assume is the first step to kind of moving, closing off and moving on?
Yeah. So I'm a big proponent that we should reflect yearly, quarterly, monthly, weekly, and even daily.
Wow. Okay.
Yes. And you do this kind of on a rotating basis. Obviously, yearly, you're looking at a much broader picture. You're going more in depth. Monthly or quarterly, we'll go backwards. Quarterly, you're looking over a couple months, and you want to do it the same way, but you also want to think about what are the things that are unique to this quarter that maybe won't apply to the next quarter, but I want to make sure I remember when we roll around to this quarter again. So, you know, I'm in the States, we have Black Friday. If you're reflecting on your Black Friday sales, you want to remember that. But quarter one would be very different than quarter four. And so when you're thinking about that reflection, you want to think about it from the time frame that you're in. And then you go into monthly, because if you wait to the last week of the quarter to try and achieve your quarter goals, the likelihood of you achieving them are not as high. So I think it's really important, once you've set your year goals, your quarter goals, and your monthly goals, to keep reflecting on that, on how are you moving forward on achieving those goals. And weekly, it's really about taking a look at your week. Did you move your goals forward every week? And if the answer is no, there's probably some keys in the days. So I'll use Monday as an example. I often look at people's calendar, and on Monday, it's like jam-packed. They're way overambitious. They have like 30 goals that they want to accomplish in the day. And in reality, I actually say you should not even try and accomplish anything on Monday except getting through the day, because
I like
catching up. And so that's why it's important to reflect every week, but every day, so that then you can go back and say, how do I make sure I set myself up for success every day, so that, again, I can get to that beacon of reaching my goals?
So what does reflection on a weekly basis look like for you? So do you do that on the end of the business week? Would you do that on a Friday? Or if your weekend's on a Thursday, would you do it on a Thursday? Or do you do it on a Sunday before you come back to work? What's kind of like your routine?
So personally, I do it on a Sunday. I do have a lot of clients that do it on a Friday. It truly depends. I like to look at both personal and business. But I go back through. So every night I write one sentence. I have a written planner, a hardcover planner, but I don't use the little section with the boxes for the appointments for that. I just write a sentence about the day.
Right.
You know, did really good, was very productive, got a lot done, got totally distracted, off track. This day got away from me. So at the end of the week, I'll take a look at those daily notes that I made. And that takes me like 3 minutes at the end of the day. It does not need to be a chisel into your day, an hour of reflection. And then I look at those things, and then I start to look at my calendar and see if there's ways that I can change things around, or if there's just mindset that I can go into the day saying like, okay, Tuesday's going to be my really creative day because I have a lot of time. I'm going to set that day up for success by getting in the mindset in the morning. I'm going to ensure that I have worked out and I think about and envision that day. And then I'll look at maybe Wednesday and say, well, I didn't really set this day up for success, so we're going to chalk that day on off as hopefully I survive. And next week, I won't plan my day like that. So that's kind of my routine on a Sunday night, to get myself in the mindset of where can I also insert my goals? Have I lost track of my goals? And my schedule just taken over? Mm-hmm. Are there spots in there that I can make sure I'm working on something that's goal related?
Love it. Love it so much. And I think that you actually even have a free resource for that as well, don't you? That reflection process.
Yes, I do. I have a weekly reflection and then I have a yearly reflection worksheet too, which I can give you the link and they can grab.
100%. Yes. I know that so many of my listeners would love that as well. One thing that I'm going to pick up on that you just said, Sarah, is that it doesn't have to be a burden. Like it doesn't have to be something that we have to do or another thing that we add to our already long to-do list. It is just, because the minute that we think about it like that, we come from that negative space that you were talking about before and it just doesn't become a positive experience for us. So I love that piece of advice. It doesn't need to be a burden. It just needs to be quick and simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Otherwise, you won't do it and you won't gain anything from the experience. And it's really about setting your weeks up, your days up, so that you can achieve what you want to achieve. Not achieve more, unless that's what you want to do, but so you can achieve your true goals.
Love that. Not achieve more, but achieve your true goals. So we've spoken about reflection. That kind of seems to be the first step in actually making sure that we're on track with our goals. So what's the next step after reflecting?
Yeah. So you need to measure things. And I love this book. I don't know if you've ever read the book, The Gap and the Gain.
No.
And it's a great book. You should read that book. So The Gap and the Gain talks about whenever you're trying to achieve something, there's usually a gap between what you want, and it could be you don't have the skills, you don't live in the right place, you don't have the money, whatever, you need to learn something. And many times people judge their performance based on how far they've come, like did they accomplish it? But unfortunately, they forget about where they started, which is really the gap, and how much they've gained on that gap. And so I think it's important to truly measure your goals. And so I will get people who say, well, what if my goals can't be measured? Well, everything can be measured and it doesn't have to be like an Excel formula or anything like that. You know, even if you just want to live a more happy life or you want to be more productive every day, give yourself on a scale 1 to 10. How productive was I today? 7? Great. Well, my starting is a 7. My next day, I'm an 8. Oh, now I'm back to a 3. So I think it's really important to measure that. And you can create some type of data tracker for yourself to measure your goals. And that allows you to not only drive to those goals, but then to go back and celebrate when maybe you haven't achieved the full goal, but you can look where you started and you can see your gains as you cross that gap. And that's the key.
Yeah, I love that perspective, the gap and the gain. So if I don't actually achieve my goal, say I set it to, I don't know, I'm going to do it from a content perspective, that I want to have 1,000 followers and I'm starting from 0 and I don't get to the 1,000. But if I'm tracking it, those incremental pieces, and I can celebrate the fact that I have moved away from 0 and I'm moving towards that 1,000.
Yeah. And one of the things that I learned a while ago, because I had this wild goal, I don't know if you knew this, but I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, tell us.
I wanted to be a world champion equestrian horseback riding ever since I was a child. And one day my coach said, that's not your goal. That's your result. And it took me back a little because, you know, people have goals out there all the time to be an Olympic athlete, to, you know, just win a bodybuilding competition, whatever your goal is. People have those type of goals to lose however much weight, whatever they want to do. And when my coach said that, I said, I need you to tell me more. And now I've spent a lot of time thinking about what he was actually trying to explain to me. He said, my goal is actually to become an accomplished equestrian that's confident. Well, that's not measurable. That's why I said I wanted to win a world championship, because that's measurable. But what I was actually doing was, that's the result of accomplishing this goal. And I was putting that in the hands of other people, because this is subjective. I could go be the best possible rider ever, but if the judges simply like somebody better, or if that person is further along on their journey, they're going to win. So I was setting myself up to fail by setting that as my goal.
Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Yeah. So how do you approach goals these days then? Or how can you perhaps help my listeners switch from that result orientation to something that's more controlled within themselves?
So your example was 1,000 followers. Well, you're relying on people to click on you, people to like you, people to connect with you, the algorithm that they're fighting, whatever Mark Zuckerberg is doing, or Elon Musk, or whoever, you know? And so that's the result. So they could go do all these things, and they're like, never achieving that goal. Toss that goal out. So maybe the goal, and this could be different for everybody, maybe the goal is to become more consistent, post 3 times a week, whatever your suggestions are. I'm just tossing things out there. Become more consistent, become confident, and connect with my audience. Make content that I feel good about. Shift my content a different way. And then the result, hopefully, if you do that and achieve that goal, hopefully the result would be you gain more followers because they're connecting with you.
What a different perspective. What a wonderful way of looking at goals. You've challenged me. Definitely, Sarah. Definitely challenged me. So we've spoken about reflection. We've spoken about tracking it to make sure that we're actually, you know, on track to reduce the gain to get to the goal that we're talking about. How do we then think about how to move forward from here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So once you have an idea of the goal, creating that action plan is really important and that data. And then it's about inserting those actions into your daily life. So many people, like you just wrote a book, it's a prime example. Many people will be like, well, I have to outline all the steps. And I don't know how many steps that it took you to start the process to finish, but I would bet it's upwards of 400 if you really tracked it. And if you had known that from the beginning, you may never have even started.
True facts. Yep.
Yes. So I encourage people not to get too into the plan, like outline the first 5 steps, accomplish those first 5 steps. Those are the things that you should be celebrating that builds the muscle of crushing your goals. And then outline the next couple steps. And that's what really helps you to move forward. If you can accomplish 3 things every week that's goal related, you're on track to meet your goals, because if your goals are really what they should be, those steps are going to be a little difficult. Like I'm sure when you went to design your cover, that wasn't a 5-minute design and then done with that. So 3 things about a week is about all you can really do to move your goals forward, unless you totally cleared your life and said, I'm doing nothing but this.
Yeah, I love that perspective as well. You know, take those baby steps and really think about what's right in front of you. Because sometimes when we do look at that, what it takes to get to that end point, that end result that we're thinking about, we kind of like take a deep breath and go, oh my goodness, I'm never going to get there because there's just too many steps. So just looking at what is in front of you to get to that end result. I love it, Sarah.
Yeah.
Love it. Well, I think that you've given us such an amazing framework and so many interesting and different ideas and perspectives on how to approach our goals, our goal setting through the reflection, the tracking, and then the setting process. So thank you so much for imparting your knowledge and your expertise in that space. I really appreciate it. But before we finish up today, Sarah, I love to ask every one of my guests about their superpower. I'm all about women not just using their superpower, but owning it as well. So what? I have a feeling I know what the answer might be, but what is your superpower?
I'm curious to know what you think. My real superpower is figuring out the seemingly impossible. I've done that quite a few times in my career, where I've been thrown into situations where people truly have tried everything and I don't know much about whatever their topic is, and I've been able to come and look at it from a different perspective. That's one of the things that I've been told many times I'm really good at, and I know that I'm very gifted at that, because with the whole equestrian thing, spoiler alert, I did become a world champion, so there you go. But I figured that out without owning a horse, without having money, without having any of those things that would have given me a leg up. So that's amazing. My superpower.
Amazing. So inspirational, Sarah. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today and sharing your wisdom with my listeners. I truly appreciate you being here.
Oh, I just love you. And I could talk to you for hours. You're such a great guest and a great host. So it's a pleasure being on your show. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks so much for listening. That's it for another week. To get more powerful content in your life, make sure you're following along on socials. My handle is @meldbusiness. And just in case you're wondering, the groovy music for this podcast was created by Just Here on SoundCloud. I'd also be super grateful if you took a moment to rate and review this podcast so more amazing women like you can experience the power of content. And if you're like, hell Mel, stop talking, I'm ready to work with you now, here's how we can work some powerful content magic together. Firstly, come and join the Content Effect, my membership inspiring women with service-based businesses to ditch the content chaos and start creating standout content that gets you noticed and makes sales. You can join us by using the link in the show notes or just Google the Content Effect. The second way we can work together is via my one-on-one packages. We can create a sustainable content strategy or start to build out your client journey. It's up to you. Hop on over to meldbusinessservices.com.au/services to find out more. Until next time, have a beautiful week and embrace the power of your content.